Heavenly Father, creator of all the known and unknown of this world, we come before you this day to give all thanks and praise to you, lifting your name up so high, not because we should, but simply because we can, because you are our creator, and you deserve all that we have to offer. And in this moment, we ask that we are able to open our minds, open our hearts, to worship you, lifting your name up so high, and just being able to learn what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In his wonderful name, we do pray. Amen. This is reading out of 1 John 3. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Many times it's easy to feel that it's difficult to see how God loves us. With these troublesome bodies, imperfect, mortal, it's hard to see what God has done for us. But in this verse, we are reminded that these are temporary bodies, and our time here is temporary as well. And what we have to look forward to is our eternal life in heaven. Wonderful Creator, we've come before you, lifting your name up high, praising you, and confessing our sins, the sins of commission and sins of omission. May we just at this time ask for a blessing. May we be filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, so that we may go out into this world, spreading your kingdom and growing disciples in your name. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just want to highlight a couple brief announcements before we continue this time of praise and worship here this morning. We are going to be having our third annual Trunk or Treat coming up on October the 28th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. right here in the parking lot here at Trinity. And we are going to send around some clipboards. If you are feeling God to be led to be involved with that, we would love to be having you as a part of that outreach ministry to that. And as I pass the clipboards, I think Avery is going to share about the youth group. And so as she is sharing, just know the clipboards are going around. And as God leads, may you just be involved as he leads.
Hi, tonight we will be having the casual kickoff party for the youth ministry. It is held at Faith, but all teens are welcome, junior and senior high, from Trinity and from Faith. I'm really excited. I have got a game planned that involves shower caps and cheese puffs. So invite any teens you know because we're going to have a really great time. So that's at 4 at Faith, junior and senior high.
Thank you, Avery. Next Sunday, in your bulletin, you'll notice another insert. But next Sunday, we will have an abbreviated worship service, about 30 minutes, and then we will have the special charge conference to hold the vote. And if there is anyone that has questions, you can feel free to get in touch with me or any of the members on the lead team, and we would be more than happy to sit down and chat with you. Make note of the other announcements. The last one I'm going to highlight is the bazaar at Faith. And when Jan was here a couple weeks ago, the proceeds will be divided between the two churches. And so that's a wonderful thing. You know, if you are crafty, you know, you have that talent, that gift, that's a wonderful way to give back as far as that goes. And you can get a hold of Jan. Her number is listed in there. Let us dismiss Children's Church. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for them. And may we turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
This is a reading from Matthew chapter 20. You can follow along on page 1529 in your pew Bibles. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and set them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God. At this time, will the ushers please come forward to receive the gifts and offerings?
Eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, maker of all good things, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we place on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're finishing our series titled The Line Erasing God. And as with the previous 3 weeks, we've identified a line that happens in our lives, in our souls, in our hearts, throughout this thing we call the journey of life. And this morning I want to share with you about envy, specifically about economic envy. Now, years ago I was in the business world and I had what we call flex time. Now, flex time is where you have the ability to schedule, make your own schedule, and you can, you know, work whatever hours that you wish as long as you get the work done. And so during this season of my life, I was involved with a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and basically we were in between directors at that time. I was on the board of the Steel Valley Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Now, in between the director, the Steel Valley, they had one major fundraiser each year, and it was a golf outing. And so we appointed an individual to be the point person, and his first name was Kevin. And then he quickly drafted me to walk alongside of him in order that we could still have this fundraiser. Now, we sacrificed time. We sacrificed our own resources, our own money to go out and to, you know, get these sponsors, to get all of these things to make this golf outing a success, which it was. So everything was rolling along real well until the day of the golf outing. And during the 18 holes, everything was good. And we have a banquet at the Trumbull County Country Club, and we're sitting there, and the individual that was heading up the banquet begins to recognize all those individuals that took part in that. And you hear names like Pat, Kevin, Chuck, you know, Larry. And then they move on. Now, I'm here to tell you, I had feelings in me that probably weren't consistent with the Christian faith. Because honestly, I started thinking, what about me? Where is my recognition? I can't believe that they skipped me. But yet they did. You see, envy, friends, is defined as a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, successes, or possessions. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, possessions, and anything of the sort. Recognition. We can be envious over everything, friends. And quite frankly, envy is one of those things that will creep into your life, and it will be so subtle and so slow that it will show up, and then before you know it, it is there, and then you have to deal with it. You see, really, envy is about desiring what someone else has received. I'll say that again. Envy is about desiring what someone else has received. In the words of Jesus, he tells us in his words that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And when we are envious, we are really revealing to ourselves and maybe to other people if we share that discontent or if we share that feeling of lacking, we are revealing to ourselves and potentially to others where our heart is. Our heart is inward. It's on ourself. It's on what we receive rather than on the greater good. If our treasure is to receive what God has blessed someone else with, then our heart will be found there, striving and seeking to get what we feel we deserve. Now this morning I want us to understand that envy, it causes you and me to focus upon the blessings and not the one who is giving the blessings. It causes you and me to focus on the blessings and not the blesser. It causes you and me to focus on what we receive and not to focus on God himself. Because in James, he tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good thing, every perfect thing, everything that we receive in this life comes from and through the hand of God. And yet, envy is one of those things that it's an ugly thing. It's a thing that we don't like to talk about because we want to be polished. We want to be good. We want to have all of our stuff put together. And in all reality, if we're brutally honest, we are all envious of something. We're all envious of someone sometimes. Many of us aren't content with where we're at. Many of us aren't content with the way that God has chosen to deal with us. And so this morning, we find our text as the parable of Jesus that he speaks. But in order for us to understand this parable fully and completely, we need to go backwards and look at an interaction that Jesus had with a rich young man. Now, this text is found in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. So listen to these words. Then a rich young man came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." The rich young man said, "Which ones?" And Jesus answered him and said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The rich young man said to him, "I have kept all of these, what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the rich young man heard this, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For man it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus responded and said, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." this parable this morning, we must view it through the lens of God's goodness. He states in this interaction with the rich young man that it's impossible, eternal life is impossible for people. But with God, all things are possible. So we might sit here this morning and ask, how good is God? I'm going to share with you how good God is. Peter, you got to love Peter. He's always talking to Jesus. He's always speaking on behalf of the other disciples. He's always kind of putting his foot in his mouth. And I like to call him the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. Peter, he says, look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? You see, envy causes us to look inward on our own self. It causes us to look at the blessings, but it also causes us to look at what we have done. Peter, we've done all this, Lord, and yet we're going to go without, is what he's saying. Jesus responds and says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. You want to know how good God is? You see, we read that out of the Gospel of Matthew and we think, oh, that's in heaven, that's in the future, that's at a time to later to be coming down the road. And that, how does that affect me? If you're like me, I'm a linear thought processor, and I think, what about now, Lord? What about right now? That doesn't help me now. We got to go to the Gospel of Mark. And it's the same words of Jesus. Jesus said, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold in this age. Right now. So now the natural question is, and I can relate to Peter, I can relate at some level to the disciples, because quite frankly, I had a good gig and God showed up and he messed it up. It's true. 20 years in the insurance industry, you get to a point where you're pretty much established. You don't have to prospect. You have enough renewals coming in. You have enough referrals coming in. You have established. You have paid the price. And just when I was at that point, God says, no, no, sell it all. And so the natural question is, but Lord, what? You see, envy causes us to look inward. Envy causes us to look inward as to the blessings or the lack thereof. It also causes us to look inward at what we have done. This is one of my favorite promises out of the whole scripture. You leave this, God will give you this. Not one for one. Not on a 1-to-1 ratio. No, on a 100-to-1 ratio. You leave one house and you will receive 100 houses. But that doesn't make sense, Max. No. It doesn't make sense because the body of Christ in America isn't really acting as the body of Christ. The body of Christ in the United States of America isn't sharing, isn't uplifting, isn't encouraging. The body of Christ in the United States of America, we are so individualistic, we are so siloed, or we are so separate from one another that we don't even know the needs of each other, and therefore we can't respond to the needs of one another. And then we all fall victim to envy because we look at each other and God has called me to separate out and do this thing called ministry. Now, I'm not lacking. Please, don't hear that at all. God has blessed me beyond anything that I ever could imagine. He has blessed me beyond immeasurable. I am not standing here saying that I am speaking from a point of lacking or a point of being envious. What I am saying is that through this thing called the journey of life, we all have these times where we do look at other people. And you know what? It's not God's call on their life. Is this not the same as what God has called you to? So what does it mean? The goodness of God looks like this. You walk away from this, and he will give it to you 100 times over. Now, this is not the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. It is not that at all. I do not ascribe to that thought process nor that theology. What this is this is illustrating what the body of Christ should be. I can tell you accounts of family members have been forced to separate from their moms and dads, who have had a husband and wife literally adopt them to support them, to buy them things, big things. I'm not talking about a $20 meal. I'm talking about houses and cars. I can tell you, I know men who grew up in homes where their father wasn't present, who got involved in a church, and they saw men who demonstrated what it meant to be a man of God. I know women who literally had their moms pass away at a young age, who got plugged into a church, and they met other women who fulfilled the role. It's not the same as your mom. But other women fulfilled the role of their mom. You see, that's the body of Christ, friends. Envy causes us to look inward and causes us to focus on what we don't have. But Lord, we left this, is what Peter said. I could say the same thing. Before I moved out here, I started selling everything. It's true. Sold the other vehicle I had. Started liquidating everything. But Lord, what about me? Envy causes us to focus inward and only focus on the blessings rather than focus on the goodness of God. The goodness of God, friends, receives and it returns back 100-fold. I could go on. I know men who made poor choices and they made the decision to follow Christ. And they got their kids back. They were reunited with their wife. The list could go on and on and on and on and on. There's a friend of mine, he is from another country. And he attends my mom and dad's church. He came to America on an education visa. And when he came over here, he got involved in a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. And lo and behold, he grew up and he was Muslim. And he came over here and starts attending Campus Crusade for Christ, and lo and behold, he receives Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is that all of a sudden he's got a dilemma now. Because he knows if I go back to my home country, they will execute me. I can't go home. And so he begins to petition for religious asylum, and thankfully they granted that to him. But friends, for him to leave mothers and fathers, sisters, brothers, houses, cars, all of these things for the sake of Christ, it's a very real thing. He's involved at my parents' church, and I have to believe that the people that have rallied around him have fulfilled that of which he has left behind. That's how good God is. That's how good God is. You see, the scripture says in Matthew 6, Jesus tells us, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He goes on, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than them? You see, our problem is envy causes us to focus on what we have and not on God's goodness. Envy causes you and me to be consumed with what we receive and to miss God's goodness. Envy causes you and me to be focused on what things cost us, what we have been called to sacrifice, and not on God's goodness. If we're going to look at this parable this morning, we must look through it through the lens of God's goodness. Because, friends, God is good. He is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He wants what's best for you and for me. And one of the hardest things to do is when God tells you no, and you see everybody else getting that very thing. Yeah. That's rough. That's not nice. Not easy. But God has your best interest in mind at heart. This morning in the parable, you see the lens of God's goodness. Then Jesus, he begins to explain this whole interaction, this whole account, this whole thing that just happened with the rich young man to his disciples. And there's three points of application, and we're going to get to the closing here in a few moments. Jesus tells this parable, this short story, and he says the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Now, the landowner is representing God, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give to them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage, 1 denarius. When the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last one the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the first will be last, and the last will be first. You see, the story is told by Jesus that the landowner needs work done in his vineyard, and we're told that he goes out at the beginning of the day, which would have been 6 o'clock in the morning. And he gathers up workers, and he takes them to the vineyard, and he releases them to do the work. And then about 9 o'clock a.m., he does the same thing. And he finds himself still needing more workers. Noon, he does the same thing. 3 o'clock, he does the same thing. And things go along very well until it's time to settle up accounts and to the landowner to pay the workers. Interestingly enough, the first workers, they had agreed on a set wage. The text tells us that. "Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage?" So the landowner lives up to the agreement. He is not violating his agreement. He is good in that way. He is above reproach in that way. The second thing we can learn from this parable is that the workers represent all of you and me who follow Christ. And our tendency is to focus upon what is received. In verse 9, we're told, "When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage." And so the landowner called his manager and said, "Hey, call in the workers, but call in the ones that we hired last first." And so the thought process of the early workers was this: well, they'll get a partial daily wage. They've been here for 1 hour. And the landowner begins to dole out the 1 denarius, the full day's wage. And so if you put yourself in these workers' shoes, as I have many times, you start to think, "Oh, I'm going to get 4 times that. I'm going to get 4 denarii because I've been here 4 times as long." Interestingly enough, those who were called at the ninth hour, they get the same. So now all of a sudden you have this ire developing in these workers, feeling like this isn't right. It's not right. I've been out here all day. They're getting what I'm going to get. And then those who were called at the sixth hour and then at the third hour, they get the same. You see, the focus is upon what is received and not upon the blesser. And that's exactly what we do, friends. We focus upon what we receive or the lack thereof. And then if we are not comfortable with what we receive, then we focus upon what it cost us, just as the workers do. They grumbled against the landowner. Now, I don't know about you, but I can grumble. I can grumble with the best of them. I'm here to tell you, I can grumble if I don't like something. I will grumble about it, and sometimes I will get stuck in my own grumbling. It's a true story. It's true. Please don't ask Kathy, but if you do, she'll tell you. Sometimes I grumble at God. Because sometimes I don't like what God asks us to do. And sometimes I find myself in these workers' shoes. You know what, Lord? They're getting the same thing that I'm getting, and I've been out here in the heat of the day. Can I say these things? Is it legal to say these things? Can a pastor say these things? I'm here to tell you, pastors are human, okay? Truth be told, we all feel that way from time to time. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that's how I felt. Where's my recognition? I sacrificed time, and in business world, time is money. I sacrificed my own effort, my own resources. Where's it at? Envy causes us to focus inward on the perceived injustice that we feel that we have been subject to. Envy causes us to miss the blesser. Envy causes us to miss the goodness of God. You see, Jesus, in telling this parable, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying to Peter, you know what? You know what, Peter? You've been called to this. Have I done you wrong? We've been called to certain things in this congregation. Each of us have been called to individual and unique things. Has God done any of us wrong? The answer is unequivocally no, he has not. Because the blesser has what's best in your interest in mind, and he will always follow through. And the best thing that could ever happen for you and for me is to live for all of eternity in an unhindered fellowship with Christ, the risen Savior. And so no matter what goes on here on this earth, we need to remember the goodness of God. No matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice God asks us to bear and what he has called us to stand up under, the goodness of God rings true. It is true today and it'll be true tomorrow. It was true yesterday and it will be true 10 years from now. The goodness of God must cause us to stand against being envious. Because when we are envious, we are more concerned with self than we are with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. When we're so focused on what certain things cost you and me, we can't see what God's doing. And Jesus, he once again, as with the interaction of the rich young man, he once again summarizes this story, this parable, by these funny little words. And they go like this. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. These funny little words hold the key to this whole parable. The main point of this parable is this. Don't let yourselves be among the first who become part of the last. Don't let yourselves become part of the first in grumbling against the goodness of God. Because when we grumble, we are grumbling against who God is. The main point of application is to not allow yourself and mine to be part of the group of the first people who will become the last. And if you're still sitting there saying, what, huh, how? Let me explain it this way. to avoid becoming part of the first who become the last. We must fight against falling victim to the work for wages spirit in respect to spiritual matters. You see, the rich young man, this is what he was saying. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do, having come from corporate world? We're always taught and we are ingrained in our mind that production means benefit. The more you produce, the more you make. Don't fall victim to the work for wages spirit with respect to spiritual matters. You see, the rich young man, he's like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Peter's saying, Lord, we've left this. We've done this. We have gone here. We have been with you. It doesn't work that way, friends, because God is good and God will give to all as he sees fit. And I want you to hear that. God is good, and no matter what he determines to give to you and to me, it does not affect his goodness. But yet many times in our world, we pull in the corporate mentality and we say, you know what, if I just do this, I'm going to be better. Then I'm going to receive more and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. No. God has already given you the best thing that you could ever receive in Jesus Christ, his Son. Don't be among the first who become last. The second point of application is don't fail to recognize God's sovereignty. Sovereignty is a fancy word that means above everything. God is sovereign. He's over everything. He's over everything. He's over this entire created world, this entire universe. And he is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And he has the absolute right to distribute his blessings as he sees fit. Don't let yourself be among the first who become last. And the last thing that we can do to avoid becoming part of the first group of people is to make sure that we are so far removed from envy that we focus on the goodness of God. We see the blesser, the one who blesses, and we see him as he is good. I hope and I pray that as we journey over the next several weeks, we won't become envious. I hope and I pray that we will guard against that. Because if we don't guard against it, friends, we will be among those that are the last. And what I want for all of us is to be so close to Christ that you see his blessings. You see his goodness. Because friends, no matter what, he is good. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we confess sometimes we focus on the externals. We focus on the things we have or the things that we don't have. We focus on what we perceive to be the injustices of life. And we fail to focus on you. We confess that sometimes we fall victim into the trap of earning our salvation. And we miss that it's your gift to us. We confess that sometimes we like envy, because we feel it validates us and it justifies what we're feeling. And so, Father, forgive us for buying into those things. Forgive us for missing your goodness. Forgive us for at times not believing that you have what is best for us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your love. So Jesus, as we journey in this thing called life, may you find us running from envy and running to you. We bless you, O God, and we praise you now. We praise you in the holy and the wonderful and the honorable name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we close this time of worship, if you would please stand and join with us as we sing our closing song here this morning. As we close, Trinity United Methodist Church, you are sent into this world to share the goodness of God. May your eyes stay fixed upon God, the one who blesses and gives to you without reservation. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Trinity, may you go and share God's goodness with this world. Amen.